world this week? Politics.
Northern Ireland threatened to return to sectarian violence after Republican splinter groups staged two separate gun attacks that killed two soldiers and a policeman. Thousands gathered outside Belfast's City Hall to protest against the threat to the decade-old peace process. Martin McGuinness, Deputy First Minister in the province's power-sharing government and a leading ex-member of the IRA, denounced the dissidents as traitors.
President Nicolas Sarkozy confirmed that France would return to NATO's integrated military command 43 years after Charles de Gaulle pulled the country out. A week before Parliament votes on the move, he argued that it would not compromise France's strategic independence, but make it stronger and more influential. A poll suggested that 52% in France approved.
A teenager in Germany shot and killed 15 people as he went on the rampage with a pistol at his former school near Stuttgart. He engaged police in a shootout at a car dealership and then apparently shot himself. In America, a man went on a gun spree in Alabama, killing five relations and five bystanders before shooting himself.
Georgia pulled out of May's Eurovision Song Contest to be held in Moscow when its entry was banned for taking a pot shot at Vladimir Putin, Russia's prime minister. The ditty was titled, "We Don't Wanna Put In. Mr. Putin is apparently killing the groove."
Brazil's economy shrank by 3.6% in the fourth quarter of 2008 compared with the previous 3 months, faster than expected and the worst quarterly performance for a decade.
Bolivia's President Evo Morales expelled an American diplomat whom he accused of conspiring to infiltrate the state oil company on behalf of the CIA. The United States dismissed the claim as baseless. The oil company's president, a senior figure in Mr. Morales's movement to socialism, was recently sacked and arrested on suspicion of orchestrating a corruption racket.
Defense ministers from all 12 South American countries held an inaugural meeting of the South American Defense Council, set up to try to forge a common defense policy and share information about military spending in the region.
Hillary Clinton, America's Secretary of State, and Yang Jiechi, China's foreign minister, held talks in Washington to pave the way for a presidential meeting between Barack Obama and Hu Jintao next month. The atmosphere was clouded by mutual accusations over an incident in the South China Sea, in which America said one of its ships was harassed by Chinese vessels.
In a speech marking the 50th anniversary of the abortive uprising that led to his flight into exile, the Dalai Lama, Tibet's spiritual leader, made some of his harshest criticisms of Chinese rule in his homeland. He continued, however, to call for a middle way for Tibet, short of independence.
The publisher of a popular online newspaper in Thailand, Prachatai, was arrested after a reader posted a comment deemed offensive to the monarchy.
As South Korea and America conducted annual joint military exercises, North Korea complained bitterly and gave warning of the risk of a nuclear war.
Police in Pakistan arrested dozens of lawyers and opposition activists ahead of a four-day anti-government protest march calling for sacked judges to be reinstated. The beginning of the march was marked by violence.
A suicide bombing in the south of Sri Lanka, which killed at least 15 people, was blamed on the rebel Liberation Tigers of Tamil Eelam.
Barack Obama signed an order overturning a ban on federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. The ban was brought in by George Bush in 2001 on moral grounds and was a touchstone policy for religious conservatives. Mr. Obama said that America had been presented with a false choice between religion and science.
A $410 billion spending bill that sees the government through to the end of the fiscal year was signed. The bill contains measures that loosen restrictions on Cuban-American visits to family in Cuba and eases existing food and medical trade with the island.
Charles Freeman withdrew his nomination as head of the National Intelligence Council. The former ambassador to Saudi Arabia blamed carping from the Israeli lobby. And the hunt for a new Surgeon General intensified after the front-runner Sanjay Gupta, a doctor and media star, said he didn't want the job.
Egyptian mediators said the two main Palestinian factions were making progress towards settling their differences in the hope of eventually forming a unity government. Meanwhile, American emissaries met Syria's President Bashar Assad in Damascus, and Britain said it would talk to Lebanon's pro-Syrian Shia party cum militia, Hezbollah.
Two suicide bombings in Iraq killed at least 57 people, showing that the jihadist insurgency, though much weakened, is by no means over. The first attack hit a police academy in Baghdad. The second, 3 days later, struck at a meeting of tribal leaders in Abu Ghraib, a district to the city's west, where they were attending a reconciliation conference.
An Iraqi journalist who threw his shoes at George Bush on a visit to Baghdad last year was jailed for 3 years.
The wife of Zimbabwe's new Prime Minister, Morgan Tsvangirai, was killed when a car in which the couple were travelling was hit by a lorry. Suggestions that there had been foul play sounded implausible. President Robert Mugabe, with whom Mr. Tsvangirai is now awkwardly sharing power, visited his rival in hospital and later spoke graciously about Mrs. Tsvangirai.
Madagascar's political crisis deepened after pro-opposition soldiers forced the resignation of the head of the army. He had earlier given the country's political rivals, President Marc Ravalomanana and the opposition leader, Andry Rajoelina, 72 hours to settle a dispute that has brought the island to the verge of civil war.